What a esteemed privilege we have to be in the house of the Lord this morning and worshiping His great and holy name. What a blessing it's been to be under the sound of the Word through His servant, Brother Kenneth. Certainly been a great blessing to me. Last night we attempted to notice from the book of Colossians in chapter 1 the injunction that we are to continue in the faith. Essentially, he's saying that we are to continue in Christ. That is, we are never to leave in our understanding what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And of course, this is not an unusual thought. Throughout the Word of God, we're told that we must never be removed from our foundation in Christ. You remember in the book of Hebrews, he says that we are his house if we hold fast the confidence that we had in the beginning, and that's our confidence in Christ. And the Savior said in John 15 that as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And then he says, continue ye in my love. And passages even in the Old Testament bring this thought in Psalm 92. He says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That is, they stay right where they began. And so this morning, as we pick up the thought on continuing in Christ, we'll move to the thought of growing. But again, it's growing in Christ. And in the book of Colossians, the writer is teaching this people the joys in the Lord by ever keeping in our understanding who Christ is to us and what He's accomplished for us. Over in chapter 2, he then gives us a warning about what may keep us from growing in Christ. Verse 16, chapter 2, the book of Colossians. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now there's a clue for us. I've been told the quickest way to die is to undergo the guillotine. I mean, 1 minute you may be alive and well. It only takes a split second and you are gone when the head is severed. So it is in the Christian life. And here he's speaking about things that would separate us from the head, and we would be therefore disabled from growing, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God, growing in the Lord, increasing in Christ, growing in Christ. We began in Christ, we're founded in Christ, we believe in Christ, we love Christ, we believe His work on the cross in our behalf, and then if we're not careful, we pick up and go out and want to live for Him without realizing it's in Christ that we also grow. Paul was so plain when he said that he was persuaded to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Brother Kenneth has brought to us the fact that if we will love life and see good days, it's living in Christ. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. Not for me to just begin is Christ, but for me to live is Christ. Galatians 6, God forbid, again, that he should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And the passages are just replete with this thought that we grow, but grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Dickey, it seems counterintuitive. It's like, well, we know this, and then with my own wisdom, my own strength, I have to pick up and go and get living for God. And we begin to measure ourselves. We set up our own standards. We all have our own standards. That if we do thus and so, then we're good Christians. Now, though we had to believe in Christ and understand that the true belief of Christ was what he did on the cross, and again, we did not look at that, that he came trying to save, wanting to save, hoping to save, but he actually saved. And we have great comfort and joy in what he did for us, but if we're not careful, it's past tense. And then we begin today to live for ourselves and justify ourselves by how we're doing. You know how it is. The new year arises, comes around, and you say, well, I'm going to, whatever, read through the Bible in the next 2 years or 1 year. Or maybe you're a real zealot and you're going to do it twice in this year. And then it doesn't happen. Or I'm going to have 15 minutes of quiet time. Nothing wrong with any of those goals. And in our mind, if you accomplish it, are you closer to the Lord? Well, we would hope so. But if you're like me, you're just more proud. And as you began in the Lord, you're not growing in Christ. You're growing in your own self-esteem. That now I began in Christ, but now I'm such a good servant of Christ. We all have it for our children. You know, if my children are thus and so, then I'm such a good parent. And we move away from Christ. Now, Paul is addressing this thought. He has desire that the Colossians and down through the centuries to us, that we would remain in Christ and live in Christ. And he says, here's part of the problem, is that we will begin to judge. Let no man therefore judge. And the thought here is that we begin to set up an umpire. And it's the exact thought. There's someone over here judging about whether I'm in or out when I get to base. Here's the set of rules I've lined up, and then my own conscience now is watching, and if I meet them, I'm so good. And if I don't, I'm miserable. To have trusted in self is really setting yourself up to be disappointed in self. Paul said, I don't even judge myself. He says, it matters little to me that you judge me. That's easy for me to quote. And by golly, I would like for you to think that I had a good sermon this morning. You know, it's just so hard. It's just, I'd love for my kids to come to me and say, Dad, you were the best dad. The grandkids still don't know yet. One of them back home comes to me every time, gives me a kiss on the cheek, says, you're the best granddaddy in the world. Do you think I tell them you're deceived? Not on your life. But you know what's happening. My little ego is getting bigger than I am. I'm just feeling so good about myself. And friends, every time we're caught in that warp, we're no longer in Christ. I'm not saying we're not in him from a foundational aspect and as far as his work on the cross, but we're not living in Christ. Friends, Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament, or depending on how you look at the book of Hebrews. But how do you... He had every reason to get puffed up. In fact, in the book of Philippians, he specifically says he does the countermeasure. And he says, every single thing that I have counted as something positive, I've put on the shelf that I may maintain my joy in Christ. Now, here's what we do. We may, because we've set up a system in our own minds and we're not able to reach it, we're so defeated, we end up going off into, we'll call it addictions. Now, they may be socially accepted addictions, but they're addictions just the same. Working hard, or maybe we go to every annual meeting within 100 miles. I mean, that can be done. One summer, a nephew visited us when we were in Dublin. Y'all listen up. We were in church every night for 30 days. That's how long he stayed with us. He never came to visit us again. But we'd moved to Georgia. We were good Christians. And you have good Christians in Georgia, don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to point out the fact. We so easily set ourselves up. And then if we don't meet the standard, we've fallen down. Let's lower our own assessment of self as we live every day back down to where we began. And depend on Christ throughout life. Do you know that's real growth in Christ? Not just coming to a belief in Him to start with, but staying there. That's the hard part. It is. I'm standing at the side of the Grand Canyon. You're just overwhelmed. But you can even feel bigger than the Grand Canyon. Do you realize there's something pathological about that? Thinking yourself bigger than what's around you? There is something gone wrong when we assess ourselves as so great. You know, if somebody doesn't think of as much of me as I think of me,
you know, that's really the basis of every problem.
Because I'm no longer in Christ. And since I've become my own Messiah, and I think everybody ought to do for me because I do so well for me, that they ought, that's every time it's come up in the home, you know, or the children. I'm always upset with them when they haven't catered to me, respected me, talked to me, you know, or when the church, now, somebody went to sleep. Well, what's wrong with that? It's personal, right? I mean, that's the problem. But friends, when I'm my own Messiah and you don't worship me as much as I worship me, guess who's delusional? I'm delusional. Yeah. And we get on the kids about it all the time, all this peer pressure. I wish it stopped with young people. You know, it just doesn't end there. It goes on and on. You know, I want the church at home to be known as, you know, super great church. Isn't that just wretched? The minute we go there, we're not in Christ. We have no rest. Now listen to me. Where are you not resting today? Where is it you're all uptight? Where is it you just can't get settled? You're not married yet. He or she, you know, here's a young lady. He won't notice me. I've got everything to offer. I'm as pretty as anybody else. I've got a great personality. Maybe all that's true. But if he doesn't notice, you are going to go into a fit of depression or a fit of needing something of a substance or something else. What's wrong with all that? We've not grown in Christ. Be the same thing with a young man. If she doesn't notice me, I'll act like a complete fool. I've been there. I know all about that, you know. I was silly enough to try to date Charlotte's cousin before I dated Charlotte. It was a disaster. I fell all apart. So far did I fall apart. I just said, Lord, you'll have to send me someone. Nothing I can do about it. That's the point. To live in Christ, to grow in Christ, to rest in Christ, is to put our own standards back into the field of depravity where they came from and leave them there. And it's to live in the same area in which we began. He is my all in all. Now watch. You say, well, oh, I've finally been able to do that. And the minute you say it, you're not there. It is so hard. But let's least notice the battle. This is the battle. Not getting good enough, better enough, sized up enough, managed enough by what we're looking at. We can finally feel good about ourselves, but it's rather getting lower and thinking less and realizing everything I have or want is in my Lord. Friends, do you know I have the right in Christ to be weak? Because He's strong. I have the right to be totally unnoticed by anybody, and it doesn't matter, because He noticed me. I have the right to receive nobody's prestige, nobody thinking a thing of me, because Christ thinks of me. You talk about resting. Oh, we quickly set up our own thrones. But the battle is not doing more, trying harder. We need to live for the Lord. But when we're all tied up in the knot, we just need to go back and say, Lord, I confess, here I am back, becoming my own God again. And I need to live in You. You are my everything. Now let's read the verse again. And you'll notice. Let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day. Do you realize the freedom there? We are free! We are free, friends. Amen. Or in respect of an holy day, or of a new moon, or in the Sabbath days, which were a shadow of things to come. What he's saying is, if we set up the standard and we're not meeting it, or we're discouraged because we don't meet it, or even if we're deluded enough we think we do meet it, he said all those standards that were set up back there were to prove to us we couldn't keep the standard. And it was a shadow to point us to Christ. And the same time we set up our own laws today, it ought to do the same thing, is force us back. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. And so things are set up. We set them up ourselves. And here he's specifically telling us, one, that self-righteousness of performanceism, or whatever you want to call it, in verse 16, always replaces the unkeepable standard of God with a keepable regulation of man. Don't let people judge you in setting up these holy days or what you eat and all those things. And then verse 17 and 18, let no man beguile you of this reward. There were those who will set it up and say, I'm more spiritual because I had somebody just recently. They gave me a book. I'm such a poor pastor. I haven't read the book. I was asked a month later, Charlotte will remind me of this. She's going to ask. I hadn't told her this. She's going to say, Dickie, who gave you the book? Why haven't you read the book? But anyway. The man had had a vision. And the book is all about his vision. The person that gave me the book was very intrigued. Somewhat contemplative. Maybe this person's more spiritual than I am. And maybe I could learn something by these things just floating into my mind about what I'm supposed to do. Where I'm supposed to, you know, act and all these things. Friends, he says, let no man judge you in these things. It's the self-righteousness of performance-ism. Thinking that that produces a God-honoring, superior life. But then he says, the self-righteousness of performance-ism. And here's the key, verse 19. Beheads Christ. Everything else I've said, it can just be sort of fun. We kind of laugh, you know. Well, that's the way it is. And it is. But friends, listen. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. You know why there's so little rest in this world? You know why there's so little rest in our own hearts? Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Christ. My restlessness is not necessarily that God's stirring me to do something magnificent and profound and amazing. My restlessness is that I don't find my confidence, my self-worth in Him. And I've basically said, you were good enough for salvation, but you're not good enough for today. But if we rest in Him, what did He say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of your great gifts and how profound you can be and how stupendous you can be, and everyone's going to be so thrilled and you'll be so great because you finally made the grade. No. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We get all uptight. We want to witness. We want to make the gospel known, get all this out. And friends, actually, as Christians, we're as tied up in knots and we're as, I'm probably just self-confessing. We want to make it happen so much, and the world's out here and they're doing exactly the same thing, except they're doing it in their way. But we're over here and we're doing it in our way. And there's no difference. Deep down in the soul, in the heart, let us hold the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered. You know, when I'm fully loved in Christ, I love my wife more. Amen. Do you know when I am fulfilled? Friends, do you realize what a mercy it is? that we can even call upon Him. Do you realize what a mercy it is? We don't deserve this. We're not doing it to gain something. Do you realize what a mercy it is as a parent to be able to be as Christ to your children and your children to your siblings? As you have everything in Christ and were ministered with the nourishment of who He is to us, my thought is to just be Christ to those around me. Not to get to be a super great Christian that I can be proud of, but just live in what He's done for me. Hold the head, Christ. It's capitalized. Which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Let us continue in Christ, and then let us grow in Christ. And I believe the difference in our own hearts will be profound. And I believe actually then, I'm not there. But then I believe someone could actually tell, there's something there the world doesn't have to offer. There's something there, like when the Savior spoke to the woman at the well, I need that water of life. And there would be those that were actually drinking that water of life. Of course, I'm sure many of you already know that and say, well, Brother Dickey, I'm finally glad you're finally getting there. Well, maybe I'm just seeing the field that has this great treasure in it, wanting to get started. Thank you for the time.